Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and my visit with Larry Walker. What an amazing career he put together. In my mind, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Five-time All-Star, MVP, seven-time Gold Glover, three-time batting champion, and the home run leader in 1997. During his 17-year playing career, he played for the Montreal Expos, Colorado Rockies, finished up with the Cardinals. Over his playing career, Walker produced a .313 career lifetime average, .400 on-base percentage, .565 slugging percentage. I hope Hall of Fame voters pay attention to the next stat as we look at players with advanced metrics. Overall, he contributed a 72.6 WAR, wins above replacement. That puts him behind only 40 Hall of Fame position players, including 18 outfielders. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Enjoy my conversation with former Cardinal Larry Walker.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
Well, one of my favorite people to cover, and albeit it was briefly in St. Louis, is Larry Walker. When you think back to your time in St. Louis, what comes to mind?
The first thing, that, and I had nightmares about it for many sleeps, was getting swept in 04. You know, the Red Sox took us down in four games, and sleeping wasn't a very popular thing for me for a while.
And I always felt you guys were the better team. Did you feel that way too?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, like I say, when we went in there, they had a lot of momentum going, unfortunately, after coming back and winning four straight with the Yankees, and unfortunately for Cardinal Nation, it carried over.
When you got the word that you're going to get traded and you're – finding out that you're going to St. Louis, and at that point you could kind of dictate where you wanted to go somewhat. What was the thought process behind that for Larry Walker?
Well, it was I had a no trade, and I had been approached by two other teams, and I even talked to ownership from those teams, to general managers from those teams, and I was even told by close ones to me, including my agent, to take the offer and go to one of those teams. And boy, I went and sat in my backyard for about 30 hours, you know, just sitting back there contemplating what to do, and I eventually said no, obviously, and then the Cardinal thing came along, and that was one of those no-brainer type things where I think it took 5 minutes just to figure out how I was going to pack everything in my locker, and then made some phone calls, and away I went.
Did you ever think maybe I should stay in Colorado and just finish my career, even if it's a bad team, a bad situation, just finish my career with one team?
Of course, yeah. I mean, it would have been my second team, but it still to be there. I've already been there.
I know it was Montreal to Colorado, but finishing up with the Rockies.
Right, I've almost been there 10 years, but
exactly.
It was number one thing, yeah, to stay there. But when the team's starting the trade and asking you to move, it was, I think, the fourth time they've tried to move me. The other two fell through, and I vetoed one of them, or two of them. And, you know, you're getting pushed out, so I'm not going to try to stay in. It's just going to make matters worse.
Why was St. Louis better than the other two offers that you had for you?
Well, I believe that they were around 14 games in first place.
that made it a little easier.
It might have been 17. And, of course, I've been a visitor into St. Louis for many a years as a Rocky and as an Expo, so... You go into that city and you play in a sea full of red every game as a visitor. Never mind putting that jersey on and the history behind that. A lot of things made complete sense immediately.
I don't know if you feel this way, but when I look at you now, I think Cardinals. I don't think Expo, and I don't think Rocky. I think Cardinals. Do you feel that way too?
Well, that's a loaded question. Yeah, you know. Like I say, almost 10 years in Colorado, so I owe that organization, the city, a lot for their support throughout those years. The Montreal Expos, who are no longer there but are still fighting to come back with the team, got it all started for me. And then really when the saying the cherry on top is exactly what the Cardinals were. It was the grand finale, so to speak, to be part of this organization for that short time to finish it.
How does a kid from Canada start playing baseball at a high level when hockey's the sport and it's a winter sport type country? How do you start playing baseball and thrive at it?
You know, I was on a bike ride a few days ago, and I went by a park, and I saw this school bus drop about 20 kids off. And I went in, and I talked to their coach, and I told him who I was, and I said, I just want to say a few words to your boys. And he let me do that. And it was basically a 10-minute speech, because they had to get their stuff going, about how not to give up, and you never know. And that was with me, as I didn't know. I played 15 games of baseball a summer. I played more slow pitch softball than baseball, and I just got lucky. But I had people in the stands. And that's why I told these kids, you never know who's in those stands that are going to be watching you. Bob Rogers was a scout, and Jim Fanning were the scouts that brought me along. And I just told them to go out there and play hard and listen to your coaches, even your parents, and don't give up, because I had zero chance. There's, you know, I was a non-drafted free agent. I got my $1,500 signing bonus, which turned into $2,000 Canadian, and away I went. I couldn't wait to get it going.
What did they see with you? Was it speed? Was it power? Was it a swing? Was it your arm? You had a terrific arm. What was it that they really noticed and said, let's take a chance on that guy?
Well, I know it wasn't fielding, because at the time I was playing shortstop and third base, so
right.
I wasn't very good at that. The bat was the big thing that I was told. I took some cuts with a wooden bat. Everybody else was using aluminum, and I used a wooden bat, and it was hitting as far as they were with my wooden bat.
Is that right?
So according to Jim Fanning, that was one of the things like, oh, my God, we got to sign this guy just for that fact, I guess. So,
who were your biggest influences in getting you to the big leagues, players and front office and scouts? Who were they?
Well, I think for me, and that's another thing I told these kids, I go, you know, listen to your coaches, everything, but at the same time, watch other players. And that's how I learned a lot of stuff, was not only by the incredible instruction from, you know, J.R. Minor, sorry,
yeah.
Ralph Rowe, Tommy Harper, that really worked with my base running. Those guys had incredible influences. Mike Quadi, even with all the work that we did in instructional ball,
sure.
I did 5 instructional balls to try to figure this game out and winter ball. And but just watching other players and seeing what brought them success, I tried. And I literally told these kids, I go, if you see another player doing something really good, maybe emulate that and take it and try it, and it might be your ticket. I emulated one little player in the big leagues and with my stance and everything, and changed things, and it basically held on the rest of my career.
When I looked at you defensively, I didn't think there was a better defensive outfielder in your time period. The arm, the smarts, but you knew how to deke runners. You were the best I've ever seen at doing that. Where did you pick that up? How did you learn that? Watching guys?
Yeah, you know what? I say a lot of the things I picked up was from just being athletic. And those was, you know, you see so many times a glove go up in the air, and you know where the ball is. As a base runner, you know where the ball is at its apex and coming down or going up. You know where it is when you're running the bases. At least I did.
Right.
So for an outfielder to throw his glove up and act like he's catching it doesn't quite do it for me. You need to follow the ball, and I think that was the one thing I did that other guys didn't, is I pretended to follow that ball where it was going, even though it wasn't there,
right,
on a fake arc that it was going at. So my head was moving and it was looking in a position where the ball should have been.
I want to go back to early days with Montreal and the team that you were on. In my opinion, it would have won the World Series. How disappointing is it to see the work stoppage and you look back on it? And I know the Cardinals of 04, that's tough to swallow too, but this one might have been even tougher for a Canadian kid playing in Montreal, knowing the kind of team that you guys had, the players that you had, and you don't make it to the World Series, and you don't get the chance. How tough is that?
It's obviously, we still talk about it as you're asking me right now, and it's from 1994, and I do a lot of conversations about this because people bring it up. But you always hear players when they win, they always say thank you to the fans, you know, and that's from the heart. All guys mean that, and I mean it when I say it right now. The worst part about that for me was the fans of Montreal lost a baseball team because of that 94 strike. I agree with you. We go on, and there's a pretty good chance we're going to win it all. That might have been the kick that the Expos organization needed to keep the team in Montreal.
How often are you called down here in Florida from people up in Montreal to talk about that team, or to talk and get, you know, fans and the media inspired to keep the push to try to get the team back to Montreal?
It's happened. I went there a few years back. Then Toronto was there playing. I forget who they're playing, but and threw out a first pitch. They brought back however many of us made it back from the 94 team, and we're able to celebrate that. But they're trying hard. They're pushing hard. I know Warren Cromartie's
unbelievable.
A big head of that, trying to really get things going up there.
How come you didn't wind up playing hockey?
I tried. I tried.
I
wanted to follow in my brother's footsteps, really. You know, he played on 2 Memorial Cup teams with the New Westminster Bruins, and that was a big thrill to sit behind his goal for 2 periods of a game when I was a kid. I'll never forget those days driving to Queen's Park Arena in U.S. Minister, British Columbia there, and watching him play. And I guess I just wasn't good enough. I had his hand-me-down equipment. The horse feathers and whatever was in the goalie pads were falling out in the bottom and staying in the ice. You know, I had a glove that was twice as small as the other goalies there. I didn't have anything. We didn't have the money to buy the good stuff. So
yeah.
I went there with with hardly anything. You know, the slap shots hurt.
They do.
There's not much padding in your stuff. But both years I went there, I was the last goalie cut, and ended up getting beat out by the GM's cousin both times, so it didn't quite work out.
Politics.
Yeah.
Larry, when you think back too, is it a situation where did you love the game of baseball, or was it just something you did because you knew you're good at it, you can make a living out of doing it?
I learned to love the game of baseball. Like you say, I came into this world with a stick in my hand and skates on, so
right.
You know, as a lot of Canadians do. But I learned to love it once I was signed by the Expos and gotten down in the minor leagues and saw what it was all about. Really not till Double A did I actually realize I was good enough.
Right.
I had no idea. People were telling me that you're going to be up to the big team pretty soon. I was like, what? didn't make sense to me. I was just playing for that $500 a month because that's more money than I'd ever seen. So I was content doing that, rooming with five other guys in a two-bedroom house and, you know, and enjoying that life.
When did they move you to the outfield?
That was in A-ball. I spent my rookie year in Utica, New York, and played some horrible third base, took a line drive off the head, those type of things that you're supposed to catch and I'd miss. And then they just said, your arm's too good. We need to move you to the outfield. And that was Jim Fanning that did that. He put me out there and said, this is where you got to learn how to play.
I was at a fantasy camp, and you were telling the campers about how sometimes you would prepare in a cage with a tee. What did you almost did like a Happy Gilmore and running to it and then smacking it but trying to take it up the middle. Try to explain what you were doing with that.
Yeah, it's a kind of a step into it process to really over exaggerate my weight transfer from the back to the front to get loaded and have that over exaggerated feeling that I'm going to have at the plate, except I'm not walking into it. So it's really I use a fungo bat when I do it. I like the bat speed. I like everything good. I'm all about positive things that I can do to bring into a game. And then just everything off the end of the screen. I never tried to hit it to the left side of the screen or pull it to the right. Everything was off the end, but never off a machine. It just completely messed me up all the time.
I'm sure you're asked about this. What's your favorite memory when you think back of playing, not just with St. Louis or Colorado or Montreal? What's a favorite memory for you?
I think it was, I always get the date wrong, but I think it was August 16th, 1989. That's the day the phone rang in my apartment in Indianapolis, Indiana, and they said, you're going up to the big team.
It's unbelievable,
isn't like, it? I mean, really, the hairs just popped up in my arm right now just saying it, because it's like, I'm going to the big leagues? Are you okay?
This one hit deep to right. It's got a chance. Way back, Strawberry turn. He didn't even give chase, and it's under the scoreboard. A home run for Larry Walker, his first of the year. Oh, brother, was that hit. Might have gone over this Chrysler building.
Not only his first home run of the year, it's his first home run of the major leagues.
He'll remember that. So will we. Oh, man.
Yeah, when you go up there and, I'll never forget the first at bat, how nervous I was. And I must have been nervous. I walked my first two times. I don't think I swung.
who was the first call for you when you find out you're going to the big leagues?
Who was the first?
For you. Who did you call?
Oh, Mom and Dad, of course. Yeah. No, they, you know, I think they couldn't fly there. It was, you know, they're across the country. They didn't get there for the game, but yeah, they were glued to the TV watching.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
When you think back, too, at your time with Colorado, how good were some of those teams, in particular offensively, as compared to some of the others you played with?
Well, I think that's the key. We were pretty good offensively. We could put some runs on the board, but we could also give up some runs. There's many a games where we hadn't even hit yet and we're down a touchdown. So it was always a battle back then, and we just couldn't get the arms to come to Colorado to play, which I guess I can understand, but the same breath I don't understand, because you want to win. So if you got a team that's scoring that many runs, come bring your stuff there. Like, you know, Mike Hampton gave it a try, and
Denny Nagel,
a lot of guys gave it a good try, and you know, you appreciate those offers.
You're a GM, let's say. what kind of pitcher makes it in Colorado? Who would you draft? What type?
Well, I think for me, it's no matter where it is, it's a control pitcher. I think anybody can pitch anywhere as long as you know where you're throwing the ball. And I think some guys that are sinker ball pitchers come there, they try to throw too hard. Maybe it doesn't get the same action as they want. But as long as you know where the ball is going and you keep it down in the zone, I think you can get away with it there.
And sinker ballers, they try to do that. They try to bring Kyle in. He had the great curveball. It didn't work. I mean, it just seems like anybody that tries to do one type of way, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It seems that way.
No, it was. Like I say, and the other thing that was hard is leaving Denver, you know, those first couple of days going on the road, and those first couple of days coming back, getting acclimated to it again. And I see it with the basketball team. I've watched the Nuggets on how they perform and things they do, and how teams run out of gas that fourth quarter in Denver. Then they go on the road and they're a little sluggish in the second half as well. It just the altitude just messes with you a bit.
Do you follow the game much now?
I follow the Rockies and I follow the Cardinals. Probably more the Cardinals, being you guys are right here where I live, basically, and I get to see a lot of the guys. I still do the fantasy camps with you guys. Like I said, the organization is I don't know who you tip your hat to, other than I can say everybody that works in the office, media, everybody is top-notch, and it just keeps me coming back just because of how incredible everybody is.
How many kids do you have now?
Three.
And how old are they?
24, 18, and 16.
So let's say the 16-year-old in a couple of years heads off to college. Would Larry Walker contemplate coaching at all? Would that be something you'd want to do?
I don't know if I know how to speak and relay everything I did and learned. A lot of my stuff was just off the cuff, making stuff up as I went along, having stuff stored in my memory bank, and as situations came up in a game, they would instantly pop out at me. You know, I don't even know how to explain it. I know I sat down and did a hitting thing on TV with Tony Gwynn, and we sat down and did an hour's show, and I think I spoke 6 minutes of it, and,
wow.
And Tony did the rest. So,
were you in awe of Tony?
Oh yeah, are you kidding me? I had to battle him sometimes in a batting title race. You know, like, well, I got no chance against this guy, so you just laugh at it.
Well, it is interesting. The elite players, and you are elite. It's very tough. It seems like, not in all cases, but it's very tough for them to relate their own experiences and how the game came easy to them. And I hate saying that because it's not easy, but you made it look easy, and you're trying to explain to a kid that's just trying to make it, you know, this is how you do it, or this is what I did. And it's really tough to relate that, I think.
Yeah, and I didn't have the instructions that a lot of these kids have at a young age. Like I said,
right.
I was getting up at 6 in the morning before school, my pajamas on still, and putting my hockey uniform on, right, over top of that, and going to the rink and practicing, and then going back to bed, and then going to school. So if you want to, you know, I can instruct hockey probably better from my days as a hockey player than I can as a baseball player.
I think back to your debut in St. Louis, and it's still one of the great debuts I can remember of any player in recent history that the Cardinals acquired. You come to St. Louis, it's on the weekend, the place is going bananas, the team is playing extremely well, obviously. What comes to mind when you think of that debut?
Strike three.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, like I said, I got there and it's nervous enough just walking into a new environment. I'm putting on a uniform in the clubhouse by myself, basically. You know, the clubhouse guys are there trying to fit me up, right? And then you walk down there and you're walking. It's like every kid's dream. It's like that, what was the commercial with the guy had the
me
football?
Joan Green.
Yeah, had the football, he's walking out like, wow, this is really cool. And it was for me. I was going up those steps going, oh boy, who am I going to say hi to first? Who am I going to see? I hope I recognize everybody. I don't call somebody by the wrong name. You know, it's just a lot of things going through your head. And then you get called the pinch hit. And you get a standing ovation almost when you're on deck. And then you walk up, you get a standing ovation. You, you swing at strike three and you walk back, you get another standing ovation. I'm like, oh, my God, I love this place. You know?
Tony La Russa, what did you know about him before and your thoughts of Tony before you got to St. Louis, and then what was it like playing for him once you got to be around him every day?
Yeah, I guess I didn't have a lot of thoughts other than this is a Hall of Fame manager that I'm going to go play for. I know what's he going to be like?
Well, some guys, it seemed like they hated his guts, and then they went and played for him, and they're like, I love this guy.
Yeah,
he's the best.
I had zero problems with him at all,
yeah.
And I don't know that anybody on the team really did. I know there was talk about him and Roland having a scuffle, but it wasn't visible for us to see, and I don't know much about it, so
yeah.
And I was there for it, so, but I thought he was fair with everybody. You always hear about how prepared he is, and there's no dishonesty behind that. The man was prepared.
Did you think about coming back in 06?
I would have had to get my neck fixed, and
yeah.
Did I want to go through that? Unfortunately, my career was riddled with injuries. You know, I like a lot of players, I played hurt a lot. You know, a lot of days when I woke up at home and just, it's like, oh my God, I can't move. You know, I know there's one interview where my wife said he can't even pick up a cup of coffee today. His elbow's so sore, and it was real. But I couldn't play injured, but I played hurt a lot. But I would have had to get that thing probably fixed. And I just, did I want to go through that rehab and have to mess with my neck/back? Do I want to go out there and be? I already wasn't what I used to be, you know, at 38, and I was just like, I'm taking up another spot for some kids, you know, and Chris Duncan was right there in the wings waiting. It's just a lot of things went through my head. If somebody would have said, hey, you got one more in you, I might have thought about it, but nobody did. So that,
right,
that confirmed to me that I was probably done because nobody was interested.
Well, I gave you, I would do it all the time on the air, and you actually came to me, and I don't know if you ever remember this, but you came to me and said, thank you for what you're saying about me on the air. My kids are watching and my wife's watching,
yeah.
And I had talked to you multiple times. And you had mentioned how banged up you were, and it was tough getting out of bed. It was tough just getting ready for that first pitch,
mm-hmm.
And you played through it. And that takes guts, and a lot of guys don't do that.
Well, like I say, I always appreciate good things that are said. You know, I try to stay away from controversy or negativity, and it's why I don't do a lot of interviews, because a lot of times they go the wrong direction and people want to know things that it's an answer I can't give that's not going to be good. And then that turns into something bad, as it just happened with the Hall of Fame stuff, where the reason that I'm not in the Hall of Fame is because Coors Field is my PED, which it's not even how the conversation went. And it was just everything before it got deleted, and then that's how it came across on TV, and it just made me so frustrated. I said, I'm not talking to media ever again.
So why are you doing this?
Because you're Dan.
When you
or Scoops or whatever.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I people don't understand my Twitter feed. It's a total mockery of Twitter. Well, speaking of the Hall of Fame, do you think about it? I guess it's hard not to,
yeah,
right?
I don't really. It's not up to me. You know, people want me to promote and do all the stuff that other players did leading up these last couple of years. I don't have that bone in my body to first talk about myself. I'm not comfortable with it. And if I belong, I belong. And if I don't, I don't. I'm okay with both. Of course, I'd rather have the first one where I'm there, but as I talk about it now, I'm starting to break out in a sweat just thinking about that speech I'd have to do it during the thing, and I really might pass out.
I thought, though, you know, and I when I contacted you to do this interview, I thought, I'll get Larry. Larry's such a good guy. He'll come out. He's around the area. And I do forget that you didn't really like doing interviews all that much, did you?
I was okay, I guess, during the season when I played.
Yeah.
But once I retired, for me, it was I'm done. It's not – I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but I'm done. Talk to the guys that are playing now.
But you understand how people want to pick your brain. I mean, you're one of the great players of that era, especially hitter and defense and mind. I mean, people want to know these things.
Yeah, but then they get the answers and they're disappointed. So it's like...
I'm not disappointed. This has been great. I always wanted to ask you, too. I always forgot to ask you. It's still rolling on the clips, but it's one of the – and I hope you have fun with this. It's one of the great highlights ever. You give the ball to the kid in Dodger Stadium, and then you go back and get it and throw back in. And do you see that clip? Do you remember?
No, never. Well, what are you talking about?
You know, I'm sure you've never seen it. I love that clip.
Gotcha. In the air to right field, Larry Walker in foul territory. Now, Offerman tagged up on that play. And Walker doesn't know how many outs there were. He gave it. Offerman will go back to third.
Well, wait a minute. This is something I don't understand. I think Walker gave the ball to a fan.
He thought that was the third out.
Yeah, but how can they? I don't understand how. Well, I guess it's like a throw into the seats. Okay, I guess that's what they're saying. It's like a throw into the seats. You get two bases. Even though he didn't throw it in,
man,
he gave it to somebody.
I'm surprised.
He thought it was three
out. I'm surprised Walker remembered to show up tonight.
Yeah. You get two bases beyond the base you already have.
Right. See, and he gives it to that kid.
Yeah.
Now, here's the funny part. He goes back to get it, though. That's what's funny. Yeah. Now, what if the kid doesn't give it to him?
Right now, at this point, Offerman is still on the way to second base,
right,
which means he only gets third.
Now, watch. So he goes back to get the ball.
Oh.
Maury.
Yeah.
Now, it's often said that you see something new all the time in the ballpark. Have you ever seen that?
Well, I haven't, but maybe... No, nothing like that, John.
It's. I always laugh because I always tell guys, you know, I had a couple thousand hits and a few hundred home runs and everything, but it never gets talked about. Remember that one home run where I won the game?
Right.
I don't remember that? No, okay. But this always comes up. And, yeah, Sebastian Napier was the kid's name.
Oh, is that right?
I'll never forget his name. Yeah, how old has he got to be now? Because I think that was 1992. He's probably married, got a family, and I'm still talking about him as a kid. But, yeah, no, I remember going back, and Offerman was on first and ended up going to third, and then Tim Wallach, I believe it was, ended up taking took Pedro deep. So
yeah,
would have scored from first the same way he scored from third. So no harm done.
No harm done.
I was counting in metric.
Yeah, well, of course
say.
You were.
Yeah, there was three outs in metric.
How often do you get up to Canada, or do you stay here primarily the entire year?
No, every year I go up. I have a cabin up in the mountains.
Awesome.
That I can only get to by boat. There's no electricity, no TVs, no nothing, and I'm there for anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks.
Is that right?
I completely check out of life, and every year I can't wait to get there.
Now, do your kids go with you too?
Yep.
And they're able to handle not having their phones?
Yep. Well, there's one bar that you can get,
There's
one bar phone, and they for service, so they can find their spots here and there and do that. But I let them have that, because without that, today's kids wouldn't survive.
No question. What keeps you busy during the day? So you wake up, what are you doing?
Right now, I'm trying to get back into shape.
You look like you can play.
I've been working out a little bit, just trying to, like, as soon as my clothes don't fit right, it's either I start working out again or I go buy a new wardrobe, and working out's easier. So I don't want to go out and spend money buying new clothes because I don't dress well to begin with.
So. I got you. So you stay busy doing that. You work out, and you're probably being a dad, I guess.
Yeah, the kids want to do something. Like, say they're older now. The 16-year-old's driving. The 18-year-old's not yet. She's terrified, which I don't blame her. South Florida's got the worst drivers in the country. And, whatever occupies my day. If I'm outside, I'm happy. If you believe it or not, I'm 6'4", 240, but I love doing yard work, so I can be out in the yard doing stuff all the time.
Well, the other thing I was going to say, too, is that you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Whether you want to talk about it or not, you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very kindly.
And thanks for doing this.
You got it.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
Again, if you're a voter, I would stress, please take a harder look at the career of Larry Walker. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Thanks to Larry, always a class act. And thanks to you for checking out Scoops with DannyMac.com. This has been presented by Ryan Kelly. Visit him at TheHomeLoanExpert.com.